Hey, welcome to Church Online. I'm so glad that you joined us today. And you know, if you're new here, I want to encourage you to text the number on the screen. Let us know that you're here. We'd love to connect with you. And man, I can't wait to see what God is going to do today through the message, how he's going to speak to you. So let's dive in.
Hey, what's up? My name is Chris Ifield, lead pastor here at Grace River Church. I want to say thank you so much for watching online at home today. My hope is you take a next step on your spiritual journey as you meet, know, and follow Jesus as a result of today's teaching. Today we start a brand new sermon series called Summer in the Psalms. We're in Psalms chapter 23 today, and I want to just encourage you, allow this summer to be a time where you grow closer to God, not further away from Him. And so I really believe that this new series is going to help all of us take steps closer to following Jesus. And I want to see you in person, 8:30, 9:45, or 11 o'clock some Sunday here at Grace River. And so, Summer in the Psalms, man, I'm actually covering today one of my very favorite Psalms. It's Psalms chapter 23. And the big idea behind this passage and the big idea behind today's teaching is when Jesus is your shepherd, you don't just survive life. You're led, you're loved, you're restored, and you're carried home. And so my hope for you is that you're not just surviving, that you're thriving through life, that you're in this growing, vibrant relationship with God. And man, you can do that. But what we all need is we all need a Savior, and we all need a leader of our lives. And what's amazing is Jesus not only wants to be your Savior, He wants to be your Lord. Another word for Lord is leader. Another word for leader is shepherd. You and I need help walking through life. And what's amazing is that we don't only have a God that promises us a home in heaven forever. We also have a God who promises that He will be with us even through difficult times. And so sometimes we can get a little circumstantial with our faith and we feel like, man, God must really love me when I get the pay raise, or God must really love me whenever things are going well in my life. But what about in the valley? What about in the difficulties? And that's what today's psalm really covers in Psalms chapter 23. Here's the reality, though. We all struggle with whether or not we want God to lead us. In fact, we struggle to let Jesus be the leader of our lives. And we do that for a lot of different reasons. We believe that our way is better. I mean, if we're honest, we've all struggled with this lordship issue because we're convinced that we have a better way. And it's kind of a ridiculous convincing that we do of ourselves, because we think to ourselves, hey, God, I'm going to allow you, who authored me into this life, to put the pen down, and I would like control for a while. And I don't know about you, historically, that has never gone well for me. The second reason why we struggle letting Jesus lead our lives is we don't want to let go of control. Again, our big issue is that we just want control, and it's a struggle for so many of us. It's a struggle for me, is I want control of my life. I want to control outcomes. I want to control decisions. I want to control different circumstances that I'm in. But what's amazing is you'll find out you're in control. Even when you want to be in control, you're in control of very little. And so giving Jesus the lordship and the leadership of your life means you have to relinquish control. Salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. The third reason here is we're still hurting from the past. Like, man, maybe God has let you down in the past. Maybe you've prayed for something and it hasn't came through the way you thought it should, or God maybe didn't answer the prayer in the timing that you wish He would have answered it in, or in the way that you wish He would have answered it in. The fourth thing is we crave instant results. Man, we want results, and we want them right now. And so that's the struggle, is that we often feel like God is showing up late. I would involve God in this, but I need an answer right now. And so I'm going to call my mama, or I'm going to call my friend, instead of just waiting patiently on God and talking to Him. And so that's another reason why we struggle allowing Jesus to lead. The fifth thing is we're pulled by other voices. So we have other people in our lives, whether it's our parents or our friends or our coworkers or even voices that may be on social media, places at work, whatever it may be, other leaders in our lives. We're pulled often in so many other directions. We're unsure that He's really good. Like, we've heard it, and we've sang about God's goodness, and we've heard about God's goodness in Scripture. But if we're honest, whenever you've been let down, whenever you've been misunderstood, misrepresented, when life doesn't go the way that you think it should go, oftentimes it's easy for us to wonder and question, God, are you even a good God? And the seventh thing is we're afraid of where He'll take us. Man, I would allow Jesus to be the leader of my life, but I'm afraid of where that could take me financially. Like, if I take Him seriously at His word, where will that take me, right? I'm afraid of saying yes to Jesus and Him being the leader of my life because I know that it means that I'm going to have to break off some relationships that I have that I know are unhealthy. I'm afraid of this because of some business practices that you may have that may be shady. Like, you're afraid of taking that step because you realize, man, if I really follow Him, if I really make Him the leader of my life, that means it's going to affect my hobbies and my free time. It's going to affect my everyday life, and it means it's going to require some real change out of me. And so, five ways that Jesus leads us. We talked about the problem with the leadership. Now, let's talk about how it is that Jesus can lead in my life. First of all, He leads me when I don't know what to do. That's the thing I love about Jesus, is that whenever I'm in a spot, and believe it or not, you may think I have the answers to everything. I'm in a spot often where I don't know what to do. In fact, let's jump into this Psalm, Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. I think that's important to be reminded. David, by the way, wrote this Psalm. David, who himself was a shepherd, so he cared for sheep. And so he's using this terminology as a shepherd metaphorically. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. Man, I think it's really important that we live in a place of contentment, that we recognize that, man, I have everything I need. Look at this. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful stream. God wants to be the leader of your life. And that can only happen. Jesus wants to lead you, and He wants to lead you even when you don't know what to do. We all have these things in our lives where we're like, man, I don't know what to do. Well, here's the thing. He leads me besides peaceful stream. It's Jesus, right? It's not some influencer on social media. It's not a spouse or a parent or a friend or a boyfriend or a girlfriend. What is it? It's He leads me. So even when I go through struggles and difficulties and I don't know what to do, it's Jesus who leads me. And I wonder today, I have the question, who is leading your life? And would you allow Jesus to be the one who leads you? If you're looking for peace, if you're looking for contentment and satisfaction, could it be that you're finding leadership in the wrong places? The second thing that the way Jesus leads is He restores me when I'm worn out. Man, when you're tired, like when you're at the end of your rope, when you've had one of those days or one of those weeks or one of those months or even one of those years, what's amazing is the promise here in Psalms 23 is that Jesus restores you even when you're worn out, when you're at the end. Psalms 23, verse 3, He renews my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name. I love this, man, that it's Jesus that renews our strength, right? It's not caffeine. It's not retail therapy, right? It's not looking for significance in the wrong places or the wrong things or the wrong people. It's Jesus who renews. He renews my strength. What I love about this psalm is this psalm is not just poetic. It's actually prophetic. This psalm and every single verse of this psalm, it's an Old Testament poetry book. But what's amazing about this particular psalm is it's pointing us to the Savior. It's Jesus. He restores my strength. He guides me along right paths, bringing honor to His name, that we get a chance to do this, that it's God who renews us. And maybe today as you're listening, man, your soul is just weary. You're tired. You're worn out. Circumstances have not gone your way. Maybe you're just physically exhausted or emotionally exhausted. Maybe you're relationally exhausted. Maybe you're just all of the above, right? Like if we're just honest, like you're just worn out. But what's not going to fix you is another vacation. What's not going to fix you is a new car, a new job, a new family, a new spouse. What's going to fix you is running to the Savior. It's Him who renews your strength. The third thing is He stays with me when life falls apart. This is amazing. What I love about our Savior is that He's with us even in the struggle. Look at this in Psalms 23, verse 4. If you grew up religious, maybe you grew up Catholic or Lutheran or Presbyterian or Baptist or whatever the mainline denomination you may have grown up in, this part of this psalm is going to sound familiar to you. And I used to read it, and I used to be scared of it whenever I was a kid. Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. When I was a kid, in a different translation, in the King James Version, I would hear it, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. I remember hearing that statement in the King James Version and being like, oh my gosh, the valley of the shadow of death. That sounds absolutely terrifying. This would have been like in the early 90s around like Freddy Krueger movies and stuff like that. And I remember just being absolutely afraid. The valley of the shadow of death. What that passage is really saying is even when I walk through the darkest valley, I won't be afraid. Even when you go through the biggest trials of your life, the biggest struggles, the biggest lows of your life, God is with you in the highs and in the lows of life, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and they comfort me. Man, I love that. Even when I walk through the darkest valleys, here's the promise, man. Jesus is always with you. No matter how you feel about yourself, no matter how others feel about you, God is always with you. And that's an amazing promise found here, is that He stays with me even when my life is falling apart. And I want you to know today, God sees you, we see you, God loves you. So if you're in that place today where you feel like your life is falling apart, I want you to know that out of the ashes, God will restore you. That God is in the business of staying with you. That He's never going to leave you. He's never going to forsake you. Now, what I wish this psalm said is that even when you walk through the darkest valley, don't be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and staff. What I wish this passage said is I will walk you around the valley. That's what I wish it said. But instead, it says that I will walk through the darkest valley with you. Now, again, I would rather God walk me around the valley, like for God to build a bridge so I don't have to worry about the valley. The promise here is not that your life will be perfect. It's not that you won't have struggles, because you will. So I never want to paint a picture to you that your life is going to be easy, that following Jesus is easy, that making Jesus the leader of your life means you're going to have an easy life. Because this book never says that. That ultimately you will have struggles. You will have problems. Jesus promised us that we would have problems, right? And in fact, He even said, I promise you that you will have many problems. So not singular, but many problems, right? But what's amazing is that we have a God who wants to walk with us through the valley, through the struggle, through the difficulty. The fourth thing is He fights for me when I feel attacked. What's amazing about this God that we have is that it's God that fights for us when we feel like we're attacked. Psalms 23, verse 5, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You honor me. By anointing my head with oil, my cup runs over with blessings. You know, I think about Jesus and the significance of this passage, really when it pertains to Him, especially thinking about the Last Supper. You realize that Jesus sat at the Last Supper, and you know one of the people that were there was Judas. And so when we talk about God saying, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies, isn't it interesting to think that Judas was there, like at the table, and how much this actually points us to the life of Jesus? And if if God did that for Jesus, does God do that for us? That not everybody in your life is going to like you. Like, we're not promised that. In fact, we're promised that we will be hated because of Jesus. Like, that's a promise directly from the mouth of Jesus. So I just need you to understand, your life is not always going to be unicorns jumping up over rainbows. Like, we're going to have difficulties. You're going to be misrepresented, right? You're going to be misunderstood. And if you're not misrepresented and you're not misunderstood, that just means that you're probably living a life where you're trying to satisfy everybody and you're satisfying the wrong people. Like, it's not a recipe for success. It's actually a recipe for disaster. So the fifth thing here is this, is that he brings me home when I wonder where I belong. It's amazing that Jesus brings us home when we wander, if we think, man, like, do I even belong here? Look at this in Psalms 23, verse 6. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. It's amazing that it's God that pursues us all the days of my life. That the only reason why you and I can have a home with Jesus is not because of our achievements. It's because the Good Shepherd came and received us. The Good Shepherd came and pursued us because we were all like sheep that had wandered away on our own. That's why I love the parallel in Luke chapter 15. There's the story of a woman who loses a coin. But before that story of a woman losing a coin, there was a story of a shepherd that had 100 sheep. And he was counting the sheep and he realized that only 99 of the 100 were there. And he went and he found the one sheep that had wandered off. And what I love about this story and the parallel of this good shepherd is that the shepherd, instead of kicking the sheep, instead of shaming the sheep, right, instead of calling the sheep a loser and making the sheep feel judged and persecuted, instead, the shepherd doesn't do any of that. Luke 15 says the shepherd picks the sheep up and puts it on his shoulders and carries it home. Surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. Listen to me. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, God loves you. God's pursuing you. And understand this, that he's never giving up on you. So I got some next steps for you to think about. The first one is, would you surrender daily to the shepherd's leadership? Like, every single day, would you say, I am going to surrender my life and say, he's my leader, not me. He's my leader, not them. He's my leader, not that. That he's the good shepherd. He's the one I trust. He's the one I get guidance from. He's the one I get my help from. It's Jesus that I surrender. And I notice this, it's a daily surrender. It's not a one-time thing. It's a daily thing. The second thing is, name the valley and invite him into the valley. So some of you today are struggling and you would say, man, you resonated with that passage in Psalms 23, verse 4 and 5, where I talk about even in the darkest valley, you're right there with me. Would you name the valley today? Could be the valley of grief. Could be the valley of depression. Could be the valley of discouragement. Could be the valley of your whatever circumstance that you're walking through today. Like, name the valley, okay? And invite him into the valley. Name the valley and say, God, I want you with me in the valley. Like, I need your presence in the valley. The third thing is, return to the table of grace. And maybe it's just time for you to step back up to the table and realize that God has a spot for you there. That even in the presence of your enemies, even though you've been misrepresented and misunderstood, that God's got a spot for you right there at the table. And the fourth next step is, make the decision to follow Jesus. Man, if I just give you some behavioral advice, all we're doing is rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic. Like, we've got to make a decision today to say, no, this is more than just relational advice. I need to make Jesus the leader of my life. And man, if you've never done that, if you've never made him Lord and leader of your life, would you bow your heads with me for just a moment? And maybe you're a Christian and these other three next steps pertain to you. But if you've never given your life to Christ, you've never began a relationship with him, you've never said yes to him, you can pray a prayer just like this. God, I admit that I need you. I believe that you sent your only son to come and die in my place. And God, today I confess with my heart and with all of my life, you and only you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for changing me. Thank you for making me new. Now, God, help me to go live the rest of my life, not for myself, but for you. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for being my leader. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Man, if you just prayed that prayer for the first time and began a relationship with Jesus, I would love for you to text the number 636-336-2475. That's 636-336-2475. And just simply text the word yes to that number. And we would just love to be able to celebrate with you and help you take next steps as you meet, know, and follow Jesus. And so, man, again, my hope today is that you were encouraged. Man, Psalms 23, so many great nuggets in Psalms 23. Go back, reread it this week. Go live in that this week. It's just a great reminder that we have a God who wants to be our leader. And my hope for you is that you decide to make Jesus the everyday leader of your life. God bless.
I hope that you enjoyed today's message. I pray that you were able to take a next step in your spiritual journey of what it means to meet, know, and follow Jesus. I want to say thank you again for joining us, and I want to invite you back here next Sunday. If you call Grace River Church your home, I want to encourage you to give as well. Giving is an amazing next step that we can all take. And you can do that by going to graceriver.cc/give. Again, I hope that you enjoyed today. We'll see you back here next Sunday.